casting out demons. Do y'all have that picture? Does Bonnie have that? Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They got a nice one. It's on the internet thing. You can see it. She showed it to me. But casting out demons. Well, let me ask you something. What do you do when you got rats in the barn? You turn the light on, you expose them, and you kill them. That's as simple as it gets. We used to have barns and whatnot, and you go by and the light would be going through there and you'd see something go across the hay barn. Well, my dog, we had Super Dog, and she was ready to go. She was ready to chew that door off. Slippers, man. And you would ease that door open and that light would start going, them rats would fly. She could catch them. Man, shake them one time and go to the next one. But you got to kill a rat. That's all a demon is a rat. That's all it is a rat. You got to expose them. Ephesians tells us that light of God exposes darkness. It can't, and John, 1:4-5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not stand it. So, and I've got a lot of history with demons. Yeah, ask my wife. She'll tell you. Yeah. And then next Wednesday, Pastor Jerry Judges will be here, and we were talking about this, and he said, yeah, he said, I worked with you before you had Jesus. I know what working with a demon is. So when you come to Christ like I did, carrying 38 years of the world's baggage with you, you better believe I know what a demon is. Amen. Didn't know at the time because you're running with them. You're floating in the current with them. But hatred, anger, wrath are all fueled by sin nature, devil-inspired lifestyles. I want you to listen to this now. This is a life and death message for somebody. They're going to put up John 8:44. Jesus says this. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, Jesus said that. Right. And that's for all of us. Every one of us were born in the sin. Every one of us, when we were born, because of the first Adam, we were born into sin. You can go read Romans 6:7 and read all about it. But when Jesus just said this, but therefore we are children of the devil before we get born again. And I'm getting somewhere. I've got to lay a foundation about casting out demons. He says that that's the reason why we sin. Not as believers, we don't do this. The old ways are dead, supposed to be. That's a process. It's called renewing our mind. Why all the problems? Sin. Why do I still want to do the things that I know that are wrong? Because I have not renewed my mind. After I grow in Christ and start renewing my mind, that once demonic sin nature isn't dictating how I live anymore. Has anybody ever been with anybody and they were, and you could look at them and say, man, that dude's got a problem. He's got something in him and it ain't Christ. Okay. I'm telling you this. I want you to listen to this. I read this 2 or 3 times today after I wrote it, and I read it in about 25 minutes, but I don't think it's going to get 25 minutes. For, you know, as a believer, I had to learn to drive forward in life and stop trying to drive in the rearview mirror. Quit looking behind, okay? The windshield's a lot bigger. Man, you know. So how can you cast out demons? Listen to this. I must and I have to look at myself. I've heard these things. I need help. I have a demon. I have a devil that won't stop attacking me. One of the most frequent questions that I've been asked since 2004 when me and Pamela Joe went to ministry is, I mean, the very first things, they don't teach you this stuff. They don't teach you this, and they teach you how to marry somebody, bury somebody, you know, which program to send somebody to or whatever. But they don't teach you how to cast out demons. And it is real. And I'm getting there. But since 2004, some of the first phone calls I got is, can you come and cast out a devil from my son? Or I've got demons and devils in my house. The doors open and close. The wind is shake. Shadows come and go all the time. I hear voices in the house when no one's at home. You guys have heard these things from people. I am preaching to the choir on Wednesday night, but you guys know what I'm saying. There's people. This was in Matthews County, Gloucester County, Lancaster County, King and Queen, Middlesex County. I've been at Cornerstone, since I was at chapel. For a believer, not understanding the authority we have over demonic unclean spirits is the reason why these attacks happen and rehappen in a person's life. We have to understand who we are in Christ, the authority and power God gave me as a man of God. Just real quick, you know, I was going to talk about some other things, but I'm just going to shoot these ones out there. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him. That's me. He didn't tell me to go get nobody else. He said, James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, resist the devil and he will flee. How about 1 Peter 4:7? Cast all your care upon him, God, for he cares for you. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Ask him. And he's going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to learn in the Word. Ephesians 4:7, give no foothold to the enemy. That's what we're going to talk about. That's the reason there's demons in a believer's life. And there's people, they're going to say, oh, no, there's not. Well, yes, there is. I'm going to tell you that right now. There is. Put Ephesians 6:12 up there. All these New Testament scriptures Paul wrote and everything, you know, this is wrote to a church. It's about 40, 50 years after Pentecost. You can go read Acts 19 all about it. We might read something from there tonight. But he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Paul is telling us, we're not fighting flesh and blood. You know, when somebody might have been a jerk before he became in Christ, my wife wasn't fighting my physical body. She was fighting that sin nature in me that I was fighting to keep. The devil makes sin taste good, look good, feel good. Man, he can do it all up for you. And then he's going to kill you. So, anyway, many in the church world today do not understand their God-given authority to walk in complete victory over every demonic force on earth and hell or in the second heaven. I didn't say the third heaven where Father God and Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. I'm talking about the second heaven where all these principalities and powers are floating around. Has anybody ever been anywhere they're not supposed to be and the hair stood up on the back of your neck? As a born-again Christian, you better believe it. And I know you have, Brother John. He's an officer in a institution, I guess you'd say. It's jailhouse. So I got a news flash for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me. And you may say, man, he's saying that? I said, yeah. All the screaming, yelling, foot stomping, and shouting that people think is required to cast out demons will accomplish nothing if we are not living a consecrated and holy lifestyle. If you're doing that and you're still living and running with the world and trying to tell me you're a Christian on Sunday and you're acting like the heathens the rest of the time, you're free meat for the devil. That's basic Christianity. Let's keep it simple, saints. And is everybody okay? Because this is good. This is Wednesday night stuff. This is something I've been asked this since 04. I've been asked this very recently. Last November, we had an altar call on a Wednesday night up here, and a lady came up and wanted us to cast the demons out of her. Yeah, so, I mean, she, yeah, went on the floor there. And yeah, it happens. I've been called to people's house in Gloucester very recently to, and I'm going to get in there in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But anyway, and you go, and I go, what's the problem? And they go, well, they're not here. They're not here. I said, they ain't going to be here if I'm here. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. So when I show up at a person's home, I know the difference between a real demon and a fake demon. There's open gates and holes and fences in our lives that give access to the enemy to enter our home, therefore attacking not just us but our entire family. There's things that we do. I will not give the devil credit. If something's happening in my life, or if I'm being not a good example, or not being the man of God I'm supposed to be, it's because I did that and I made that decision. James 1 teaches me that it's the lust of my flesh that draws me into sin, not Jesus, not the devil or anybody else. It's a decision that I make. Got a lot of stuff. This is actually, you teach a message like this, you could go like 6 or 7 Wednesday nights. So y'all hang on. Praise the Lord. You know, if it's an adult or a child that I go to, I ask, the first question I ask is, and I don't know them as a member of the family, I say, who do you hang around with? Where were you last night? What you doing on the weekend? What you watching on TV? What kind of music you listening to? I ask them those things. Well, they're going to give you open, they're going to tell you right now by their answers what they've been doing and why they're having troubles. You know, all of these are, every day in our world, we all lose family members, friends, neighbors to the war on drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, disease, and idol worship. Every one of those things is listed in here. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, I call them the dirty list. It says, all of these doors, holes in the fence, if not shut immediately, give access to the enemy and will lead you further from God and not to God. They'll take you from God. Galatians 3, I believe it's 3:1, Paul writes to the Christian church and he says, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? He used that terminology. Well, why would he say that if it wasn't happening in the church? Think it not strange, it happens. We make choices in everyday life, which gate we enter by, and who we will follow and hang out with. Wow. Put up Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Some of my favorite, these are some of my early morning scriptures I meditate on because it's relevant today. It happens today. We have choices. Two choice. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Two choices. Genesis 2 tells us we got two trees to choose from. Which one did you choose? The one of good or the one of evil? Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. Which one do I choose? Which one of these roads do I choose? I choose the narrow road. I was on the wide road. And it was a wide one. There's a lot of people on it, and they're all going to hell in a handbasket. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 11 that his yoke is easy. Now, these is 2:11. That's chapter 7, Matthew 11. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, there he tells us it's easy. Here he tells us it's difficult. Now, I have to read that, and I have to study. I have to meditate on it, just like you're supposed to, because it's not contradictory. Jesus isn't talking out of both sides of his face. He's telling you, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He tells us right here that the road is narrow, and it's difficult, and there are a few who find it. What's difficult about the narrow road is, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have to completely, the difficult part, just like in my life, I had to separate myself completely from the world that I was living in, period. I had to. Old buddies, activities, running, playing. Man, I was talking to Brother Charles before we come out here about some things we used to do, man, back in the day. And my goodness, by the grace and mercy of God himself, Jesus Christ, I'm alive standing here before you today. Flipped too many pickup trucks, ended up being someplace I wasn't supposed to be, and I'm still married to the same gal. Thank you, Jesus. If we don't clean up our mess and fill our minds and homes with the things of God, the enemy's coming back, and next time it will be worse than the first, because you'll know why, and that is you could have prevented the second attack if you'd have just filled your house up with the Word of God on the first one. Put Matthew 12, 43 through 45 up there. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty. Look at this, swept and put in order. Man. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now, Jesus also said in Matthew 24 that these last days are going to be as the days of Noah. Well, what's going on before the flood? The same thing you see going on now. The same thing he's writing about right there. And that's how serious a message this is. Man, we cannot give that devil any credit. He ain't nothing. Whoo! I'm not happy about that. The church world gives the enemy too much credit. Amen. Man, I didn't watch much on television because, you know, when you brought up when I was, you had one phone, one TV, one car. And it was what the old man wanted to watch, and he won't much on Flip Wilson, but every once in a while they put it on there, and he'd have, the devil made me do it. You know, that's the only thing I knew about the devil. You know, Clint Eastwood would make a Western, and he'd play a preacher, and the preacher carried a gun. I said, okay, man, I kind of like that guy, you know. That's all I knew, man. Hey, that's sin nature. Man, you might as well laugh at it, because that's what it is. It's movies, make-believe, demonic presence. Man, so then we come to 1 Timothy 3:15. Man, my verse, man, I love this. But if I am delayed, this is Paul writing to Timothy about the church right now where we're sitting at. How important is this to have a church that's going to tell you the truth? You know, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. That's where we find out that's what church is about. Pastor Chris simply puts it like this. It's a school you go to for the rest of your life to learn how to relive your life. You don't graduate till you go home to be with God. That's the same thing. It's the same thing. Okay. So I go to somebody's house, and at the request of a person not long ago, and there's people in our community of faith. There's people outside, and by the way, half the people that I minister to outside these and Pastor Christmas don't come to church here. We do a lot of outside ministry, which is great. Winning souls and discipling them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But I get a call to go to the house. There's demons floating from room to room. My daughter can't get no sleep. The bed's shaking. Yeah. So I go, okay. You know, and they go, Well, you walk in the house, and what's the first thing you see sitting on the coffee table? Buddha. There's Harry Potter books stacked up on the kids' end table. That's wizard. That's witchcraft. Witchcraft is rebellion. Samuel tells you that's what it, I mean, you know. Then there's a liquor cabinet. Half the bottles are empty, almost empty. You know, I don't know why I'm seeing demons. You put the devil in your mouth to steal your brain and bounce it around like silly putty. That's why. You know. And I'll come to your house too. Everybody said, no, praise the Lord. But I'm just telling you, that's what you see. And you want to know. Or this. Junior, who's a teenager, has got his girlfriend in his bed in his mama's house. Now, that ain't happening, Chief. I mean, people, I'm sorry. You got to be crazy. And you want to know why you got demonic presence in the house? And you say, I'm a Christian? Well, yes, you're a Christian, but you're a convert. Get discipled. Get in a pillar and ground of truth, the local church. You know, what is your eye gate seeing? What do you listen to on the radio? What are you watching on TV? All these things determine this, that there is demons out there. He can't wait, as Pastor Chris says it, to eat your lunch and pop the bag in front of you. Well, he's going to run you over. You know, I've gone to homes and the kids can't sleep at night. They're having nightmares. Sharks are eating them. They're scared to get off the bed, you know. And guess what? It's Shark Week on Discovery TV. So I'm telling you, this stuff happens. And I go, well, cut the TV off. Cut it off. Oh, no, I can't. They like sharks. I say, well, then stay up at night with them. Hey, that's your business. This ain't, you give the devil credit. This ain't the devil. You know, you drank Dr. Pepper and ate a week-old pizza, and now you're going to tell me you're seeing demons. Nah, you got something else going on there. You know, when we realize who is living inside of me as a born-again Christian? Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That's who you got inside of you. And you're going to tell me I'm worried about some peak squeak? Nah. And I'm going to get into a personal application on myself, and then y'all can laugh at me in a few minutes, prayerfully. But we need to understand our authority of who we are in Christ. This is the key to overcoming every obstacle, stumbling block, snare the enemy sets before us. It is understanding your authority of who you are, what you can do, and what you can have in Christ. Circle those things. You've heard it. We've been in this church a couple years, and how many times have you been told to circle in Christ in all Paul's epistles? Man, there's over 130 of them in the King James. In him, in whom. Matthew 10:16, I'm just going to tell you this one. We're told to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In other words, Jesus is telling Cornbread Johnson to use your head besides a hat rack, boy. Use it for something besides a hat rack. You got the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20 says, you have been anointed by the Holy One. You therefore know all things. That's John, the Revelator. He wrote that. He said, I know all things. Well, gee whiz. So my wife calls me a know-it-all. I go, yes. Trying to stay on task, should. 1 John 4:4, what's it tell us? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Who's in the world? The father of sin, the father of lies, the murderer. He was a liar from the beginning. Man, at 50 A.D., the church Paul started in Ephesus, we talked about that, is in a city. Man, this was a port city. And I'm not going to get into the history of it because I really want to get to the point of the fear in me when I was a young man. But in a city controlled by demonic worship and idols, and her name was called Diana, she was the goddess of fertility. The whole city was eat up with it. They still find in the rocks and the hillsides little idols of her and many breasts. And I mean, it was disgusting what it is. But how they worshiped in the temple was sex. That was it. And Paul went there and started a church. What made me think of this verse was when Brother John was up here Sunday and he talked about Nagaland, and he said he went there and started that church. And after he got there a while and started understanding what people were saying, he said, India calls that the Sodom and Gomorrah of India. That's where he started the church at. They're there 30 years later. We talked to them Sunday afternoon. They got over 1,000 people every Sunday in their church. Hey, I don't want anybody to look around at empty seats. But that's in India. My goodness, we live in the greatest nation of the world, and on a Wednesday night. Whew. Acts 19:19. I don't know if I gave you all that, did I? Yeah. Also, many of those who have practiced magic, this is what happened after they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. In today's money market, that's $4 to $5 million. They burned it up, got rid of it. Man, I can't tell you how much junk I got rid of out of my old life. I can't tell you how much stuff I dumped out and threw away. It makes me mad to even think I was so stupid to get fooled like that. The way Paul spoke and wrote to the people of God then is still the same way we need to hear today. The devil will fight unity. He'll fight families. He'll fight fellowship. He'll fight anything that has unity in it. The Church of Jesus Christ is the strongest army and unit in the world. The devil even hates the demons that serve him. The Word of God brings unity, and we find unity in His Word. My response to people who call me to the house and to come cast out demons is very simply, this is what I tell them. I tell them on the phone, told somebody this the other day, there ain't no devil in hell that I'm afraid of. He will not be there when I get there. And they go, you better watch out. And I go, you better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming. No, shut up. I'm serious. I can be a rascal sometimes, especially when you're messing with life and death issues in people's life. These people, you know. The first order of business that we get through with is, if are you born again and saved? And if I don't know them, where's your local church at? And if they're not going to church, how come? It's the greatest thing you can do. It's the greatest faith-building exercise you can do is go to church. Get involved in a fellowship. Here, you come to church. Man, you get in life groups. You start coming. July 1st, we're having a hamburger and hot dog thing at 6 over in Family Life Center. Fellowship, community. Man, it's the greatest thing in the world. Man, and I've been to a lot of crab pickings and hunting club meetings and barbecues and roasting the pig in the ground and in the pit and everywhere else. Man, ain't nothing beats this right here. Nothing. I've never had so much fun. And I wake up in the morning, I don't have a hangover. Man, you know, my Jesus gave each one of you, I say my Jesus because he's mine and he's yours, but he gave us the power, the dynamic, dynamite, explosive, demon-crushing power through the blood of Jesus to conquer any devil in hell or in the world today. He gave it to you. I start my day off like this in the morning, and it should tell you, and I'm asking to put up Luke 10:19, please. I know it ain't in order, but praise the Lord. It says, you have power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. I go in the hospital. I'll get a call to go in the hospital. Man, I'm quoting that verse in my heart and in my spirit going across the parking lot. Man. I got, you know. We all have to make our minds up to pick which side we're on and act like it and stay there. Put Matthew 6:24 up. Y'all can tell I like the Gospels. But anyway. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being money, greed, riches, jealousy, strife. Man, I gotta go. And I'm telling you right now, people say, well, I got Jesus. Well, Jesus never promised you, Doug Johnson, a walk in the Rose Garden. John 16:33, write these down. You know, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Yeah. Jesus said that. John 16:33, he's teaching on the Holy Spirit. How about Mark 4:38? But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow in the boat, and they woke him and said, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? You know, when he was going to get the madman of Gadara free on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he said, let us cross over to the other side. They had Jesus in the boat with him, ladies and gentlemen. They had Jesus in the boat with him. Man, we got Jesus on the inside of us. I ain't got to wake him up. The Holy Spirit's waking me up, saying, hey, dummy, don't go down that road. I've got to listen, right? Y'all good with this? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm pretty emphatic about this because this is everyday life for a Christian. And it's everyday life in the ministry. Seriously. You know, I tell you another one. 2 Timothy 3:12 is another one. Yes, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He's talking about physical, spiritual, and mental. Mental attacks, spiritual attacks, and physical attacks. So it's got everything to do, how we live our lives has everything to do with our salvation, our healing, our wholeness, everything. Prosperity has everything to do with that. You know, we have to, the Bible is a book of divine revelation. The forces of the demon world are more real than the chairs you're sitting in right now. Think about that. You can completely destroy that chair. You can pulverize it, blow it up, turn it into vapor, and it disappears. But the devil's here until his time comes to get cast into the dungeon. He's here. He ain't got no power over us. He ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Every day we plead the blood of Jesus over our home. Now, I've shared testimonies about that here before. But me and Pam still, when we receive the meal that heals in the morning before we get on the road, we take communion together. The body and the blood. The body and the blood. The sin-defeating, devil-defeating blood of Jesus Christ is our divine protection in our homes, our neighborhoods, our children, our grandchildren. This place, each and every person who calls this church their home, each and every person who visits us and come to this church, man, that's good stuff, folks. God is good. Now, I'm here to tell you that you have the God-given authority to cast out demons in your life. In your home, anywhere your foot treads. And I'm going to start with these four verses. These are all I had, 2004. Man, people started calling me and they were showing up down there at chapel. Miss Janet might know some of them. But she knows everybody. But anyway, they would show up and come in there and sit. And you'd sit there and I'm looking at them. I'm going, that's what I felt like. What in the world am I going to do? Well, you better start reading the Bible more, you know? But I'm going to ask them to put up Matthew 10, 1, please. Check this out. This is Matthew. The verse 1 is Matthew telling. But this, and when he had called, he being Jesus, called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Put verse 8 up there. And he said, this is Jesus. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. What's he say? Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Cast out demons. He told me I could cast out demons. John 14, 12 says, surely, surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said that. I can do this. I said, wow. I don't have to call no meeting and get a committee to go in there. I don't have to do nothing but cast them out. And there's many, many examples in the New Testament. You get you a blue highlighter or an orange one or something and go through the devil casting ones and just put them in there. Man, they did it all the time. Acts is full of it. Read about the church of Ephesus in 19. My goodness. You know, well, now I'm going to tell you something happened early in my before I walked with God, but I had gotten born again. Do y'all know what a Doberman pincer is? Man, if they ain't all teeth, ain't they? Man, I'm telling you, I was afraid of them as a young teenager. My dad had a boatyard. He was an outboard motor mechanic. Still ain't took a drink, you know. At night he closed the gate and cut this Doberman pincer loose. Well, I made sure I was out of that gate. That thing was huge. It got a big chest on him. Small head, all teeth. Man, all teeth. And that thing snapping and snarling and running around. Well, when we got there in the morning, he'd go in the gate, chain the dog up back there by the used boats and the motors all the way in the back corner. And he said, you're going to feed the dog. Well, I got me a broomstick and put a cake plate on the end of it with a roofing nail and would slide that food in there. I did that for about 3 months. Man, and she'd come out there, just like barking and raising. I mean, I don't know about you, but as a 140-pound, 6-foot-tall, 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid, I was scared of that Doberman pincer. I mean, I was scared. Man, has anybody ever been scared of something like that? When you walk, you seen that dog, you went, man, that was me. Well, one day, Dad told me to go back to one of the motors and get something off of it. I said, man, I can't do that. But anyway, I got the tools, and I eased around the back of that boat lot, and I come up from behind, and I'm taking that piece off that motor. Man, I heard the chain coming. And I turned around, that dog hit me like this. And that thing licked me from one end to the other. I end up hugging Lady, and I said, she was the biggest teddy bear you ever seen. Man, me and her were buddies now. Man, but he said, don't you dare tell nobody. Because everybody else in town would not, I mean, because if you didn't, they'll steal the tires off the trailers, they'll steal the batteries out of the boat, gas tanks, everything. But he did that. And, you know, she was just a big teddy bear, and I didn't have no more fear anymore. I didn't have a fear anymore. She wouldn't hurt a flea, the old man said. He said, she flunked out of guard school, police dog school, and they were going to put her down, but I said, nah, I'll take her and use her in a boatyard. So me and her, man, were buddies for a while. Man, she was a good old dog. I still look at them when you drive down the road. I don't see them too much no more. People don't have them much no more, I don't think. But them things are all teeth. Well, just the sight of her snapping those teeth and growling scared the daylights out of everyone, and especially me, before I found out who she really was. Well, I learned the devil was just like her after I got born again. All bark, no bite. He'll do anything to scare you. If it's Shark Week, if it's alcohol, if it's entertaining wrong movies on TV, Jailhouse Rock, whatever, I don't know what you're watching. You know what I'm saying? But if that's what's keeping you up, stop it. If you got something in you, stop it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, years later after I received Christ, I was having a hard time sleeping. And I kept having the same nightmare. And these three big Dobermans with the spiked collars were on my front porch trying to get in my house every night. One night I woke up and I said, all right, enough of this is enough. You know, you have to get to a point in your life and your walk with God where you say enough is enough. I ain't putting up with this no more. The devil is a punk, he's a bully, and he's a coward. Yeah. What do you do with a bully? You punch him in the mouth. Right. Just punch him one time. I mean, he may whoop the snot out of me, but I'm going to have a good time for him doing it, you know, in the flesh. But that's what you got to do with a punk. And I went out on the front, I opened the door, and sure enough, on the screen door, there were them three big old things were trying to get in my house. She'll tell you right now, ain't it? True. And she's going, what are you doing? Kids are sleeping. I didn't care. I opened that door and I said, get out of my yard and don't ever come back. Now, I ain't never seen them again. I ain't never had no nightmare, no nothing. I tell people that sometimes and they go, you're crazy. I said, you got that right. I'm crazy for Christ and I believe his word. I was crazy without him. How much more crazier can I be for the creator of the universe? I told him, get out of here. Don't ever come back in my house. Don't. And I treat them all like that, every demon. And that was early in my walk, like, my goodness, early, early. And all I could think about was Lady, my dog, my guard dog. My point is, the demons in my life would have kept coming back if I hadn't dealt with them. You have to deal with them. The devil is no different than any other thing out there. You have to deal with it. He'll use any weapon he can. And mine was an unrenewed mind. But I got my mind renewed to the Word of God. The authority I have as a believer is that I had to take the steps to punch the devil in the mouth. It's difficult at first, but boy, it sure makes life easier. His yoke is easy and his burden is light when you actually take the step to follow him and get rid of all that fear. How blessed are we to have a local church like this that actually teaches the Word of God. Y'all heard more scripture tonight on casting out devils than churches do for the whole time that they're there. I guarantee you. You know, my phone started to ring early on in our walk with God as ministers, and we had to learn on the fly. No one told us this. Once I came to this church, I found out that, yes, you learn how to do that. Knowing who you are in Christ. I fought battles in my mind for 38 years of my life, and I didn't know that there was any evil or good spirits, and that's because I was going in the same direction the evil was going. But the minute I turned and started going upstream, man, that's when the stuff hit. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I did not give you that one, but it talks about God having a good plan for you. One of good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. That's the God we serve. Satan will not stop trying because you and me turn away from the plan God has for our life. In other words, we have to keep walking with God's plan for us. We have to. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. That's where we have to stay. We have to keep foundation. Only by you and I using the Word of God and living like the Bible is real will we have complete victory in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was a lot of stuff. And I actually, that was like 6 pages. And you can ask Pamela Jo, I got like 20 pages that I wrote last week on casting out devils. That's how much stuff there is on that in the Bible. This is real quick. Real quick. But I told you about myself. We have fears in our life that if we don't conquer those and get rid of them and cast them out, they're going to keep coming back. They're going to keep showing up. There's people in churches that leave church all the time because something's not right. Well, they go to another church, something's not right, and they go to another church. And our prayer is that hopefully they find out the common denominator wasn't the church or the people, it was them. You know, I've been to 3 churches in my whole entire walk with Jesus Christ since 1995 when I first started going. That was the church in Gloucester that I got saved in, the church in Matthews I pastored for 3 years, and since June of 07 I've been right here at Cornerstone Fellowship Church. I'm telling you, Pastor Chris is not kidding when he says, give me 1 year of your life, take notes, learn, write them down, come to church, participate in special ministries, do what you can do to be a part of the body and help people, you're going to find out that, man, there ain't nothing greater than me. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is living in the world. Now, I'm going to ask you, everybody in here, I have no idea, and by the way, anybody in here right now, I have not been to your house and cast out demons, so don't be looking at your neighbor. Praise God. Please don't do that. But if you need help overcoming an obstacle in your life, and you have a fear, man, there's no greater time to do it right now than in the house of God. So I'm just going to ask, if that's you, that you just simply get up and come down here. If you've got a fear and you need to get rid of it, come on up here. Man, this is church, man. We're here to help you. And if you're here, praise God, Brother John. But if you're here, I'm going to ask that every head bow and every eye close. But if you're here today and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want to, you say, hey, I need to do that. I need to take that first step.